and go with that. So that is a big explanation. We also tried to drive some competition on these jobs by staggering the bids. So all these didn't open on one day. And we kind of started in the eastern section where we knew we have a lot more contractors interested in the work, so that the contractors would bid those jobs. Everyone would know, this is what the bids are going to be. These are the prices. And then we moved towards the west to try to, you know, the people who weren't successful in the east still had opportunities to bid on jobs, you know, later on. So that did work. I think it was meaningful. Yeah. there's technical factors why it varied, and part of that is on this portion of I-90, and we did a similar maintenance of traffic approach when we did that piece between Cherry Valley and the Wisconsin state line. It's only two lanes in direction, in each direction today. We have enough room on one side of the roadway to put all the traffic. And that is very meaningful to the contractor, because now he has full and complete access to the whole work zone. And he doesn't need to be worrying about build one lane, move the traffic over, build another lane, move the traffic over. So we're saving a lot of money on the maintenance of traffic, and his productivity numbers are very, very good. So that worked in our favor. There's some policy factors. We always add on 5% to the budget on all of our contract awards, and that is to account for the unforeseen conditions that may occur during construction. So that explains part of it. And the other part is, throughout all of our work, at least over the past 5 years, the engineer's estimate has always varied from the low bid by at least 7%. Because the engineers aren't preparing their estimate to win these jobs. I mean, they're telling you this is what the work that needs to be done, and this is how much we think it's cost based on our historical knowledge. But the contractors are telling you, this is what my current business conditions are, these are my strengths, this is how I know I can deliver this work and still, you know, be able to pay my people. So they both prepared their estimates completely differently, and I think that does explain some of the difference. I think the important thing is the bids are consistent. They're coming in low, which is good, because we're at the beginning of the program. The program's a long program. It's going to last for another 14 years. We don't know how conditions are going to exactly be in those out years, so I'm glad we're building up a factor of safety here. The first bid was, and I just have them arranged from east to west, but the first bidder was contract number 1. Construction contract award, reconstruction and widening. They're going to be working on the eastbound mainline pavement. They're going to replace the outside shoulder. They're going to replace some bridges in this section that's carrying I-90. The bridges are carrying 90 over the Union Pacific Railroad and Sleepy Hollow Road Bridge and the GNAS Memorial Tollway. So work includes all of the work associated with building the new road, including, you know, culverts, retaining walls, excavation, grading, drainage. Plody is the low bidder at $32,409,437.38, and they did meet our DBE commitment on our DBE goal on this particular contract.
What was the engineer estimate on that?
The engineer's estimate on the first one?
42,184.
Yes, 42. Right on the agenda item, and it came in at 32. But you'll see, we also have the detail. There were 7 bidders on this, and they're really tightly placed, spaced, 32 to 35. So, you know, that I think I should give some credit to the designers too. Obviously the designers are preparing plans that the contractors are all interpreting in the same manner, which is good, because that means that, you know, we got some good plans there.
Question for you, Paul. It's about a 4-mile stretch we're talking about.
Yes.
And okay, About a 4 mile stretch, I see Curran and Plody both are going to get two contracts here. Are they both super unlimited capacity, both of them?
They do have that capacity.
So they're both?
Yes.
Capable of handling both projects. I just had a question going. I'll wait till the next contract to discuss. I'm just looking at four. That's apples to oranges, I think. I'm looking at both 4 miles, 4 miles, but there's different winding and reconstruction scope in each of those.
Yes.
Is that why the cost difference?
I think also if there's an interchange in that section, or if there are major bridges in that section, that would also skew the dollar values.
Okay.
So item two, that is a construction contract award for the reconstruction and widening of eastbound mainline pavement from west of Illinois Route 47 to west of the Union Pacific Railroad on the Jane Addams. That's about a 4.2 mile section. Work is going to include reconstruction of some of the Illinois Route 47 Ramp D exit terminal and Ramp D entrance terminal. That's just at the bottom. FH Passion SN Nielsen Associates is a low bidder at $18,868,872.13, and they also committed to meeting our DBD goals. Item three, this is Plody again. And Plody really has Plody, if you drive down this section of I-90, or if you drive down I-90, you will see Plody's main office is on I-90. So, you know, they definitely, you know, don't have to, you know, haul materials too far or move their equipment too far. They were successful again on this item. It's item three. That's reconstruction and widening of the eastbound mainline pavement between U.S. Route 20 and Illinois Route 47 on the Jane Addams. That's another 4 mile section. So work is going to include reconstruction of the U.S. 20 Ramp A exit terminal, U.S. 20 Ramp B entrance terminal, storm sewer, culverts, guardrail, all the associated items. Plody once again was the low bidder. $17,149,504.68. They also committed to meet the DBD goal on this. And the last, for item four, construction contract award. They're doing continuing the reconstruction and widening effort eastbound. This is between Anthony Road and US 20. This is a roughly about an 8 mile section. They have a lot of similar type work there. Curran was the low bidder at $24,644,161.66. They committed to meeting the DB goal. And Curran again on item five. Moving further down the road is between Genoa Road and Anthony Road on the Jane Addams. 8.6 mile section. Curran contracting was a little bitter, $31,393,978.18, and they have committed to meeting the DB goal. Item six, if I had been successful in bringing it, is the next section adjacent to it to the west, and you see how Curran was successful in these further west sections. The apparent low bidder is not current on the next one. So,
just out of curiosity, any reasons for efficiencies? Like you have 4 miles on two or three contracts, you have 8 miles on two contracts.
You know what drives the locations or where we break those is purely interchanges, because those are the points where the contractor will be able to get their vehicles on the road and off the road. And those locations also have some historical significance too, because that's typically where the sections were broken when the original road was built, and for much the same reason. That's where people could get access to and from the project sites. We try to keep the jobs. We learned in the previous program that if you can keep the work below, you know, the $60 million maximum limit, you will get more people able to do it, and you'll get more bidders, which will drive more competition, which we want, because we want to get, you know, low prices, so we also keep that in mind, too.
So, did I do the math right? It's about $37 million less than, if you add them all up, than the engineer's estimates?
I will look that. I think I have the results for all six. I think we're going to end up being about $55 million under.
Oh, for all six.
Yes.
Oh, for all six.
He keeps dangling this one.
Yeah.
About.
Well, I was so much focused on getting them all here. Most of my data was based on all six, but.
Okay.
Did you find, Paul, as you went and did this bidding in this sequence, that as you got towards the end, the ones that maybe hadn't gotten work in the beginning are even hungrier?
Yes, and we also saw that, you know, Plody, once they got two, they stopped the bidding on them. You know, so it worked both ways.
Other directors, other questions?
What's the lead time on steel order, steel nowadays?
You know, I wanted to, that is also a very significant factor. Some of these bridges that are getting replaced along with the mainline roadway are steel bridges. Steel does have a long lead time on it, so this 2 weeks that we're gaining on getting these contracts into the process are going to be very meaningful to us. I forgot what the exact actual number of.
It's about 3 months.
3 months. Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So that, you know, is critical.
Other questions? Director Towns, it's in your backyard.
I noticed there are no African American sub EVs in this.
Not one.
Is there a reason for that?
There's no particular reason, and we did identify that ourselves and look into that. When we met with a lot of the assist agencies and disparity groups earlier and throughout 2012, all along they kind of said that, you know, they wouldn't have a lot of interest in the work that was in the far western portion of our system to begin with. We still aggressively did do outreach with all those groups, though. At the end of the day, you know, we don't dictate who the prime subcontractor is. But, you know, we noticed the same thing. And
if I may add a couple of thoughts to that. Director Towns, obviously, you know, as Paul indicated, we've noticed that pattern. And all these contracts, and some of it has to do again with the geographical location of the project, of these projects, and the demographics of the region, the existence of, in this case, a particular ethnic group, and the entrepreneur pool of contractors are available for that. That's one factor. But rest assured, as you know, that we've done very aggressive outreach throughout all of the stallway system. You know, I was doing a little bit of research over the last few days about exactly how much we've done. And I have to tell you that when you include the focus groups, our outreach to advocacy groups, to all of the conferences, workshops, and networking events that we attended in 2012, and the one-to-one meetings, we exceeded over 150 of those meetings last year. Just trying to do the outreach, just to inform and educate all constituencies of our efforts to try to diversify our contracting activities. We also had the unbundle efforts, as you know, which was something we did very early in 2012 to specifically identify bidding opportunities that could be hopefully given to or offered to small businesses, including DBEs as well. And we had some mixed success with that, but we're going to continue doing it in 2013. We're going to continue building that capacity of those contractors through some technical assistance efforts that the tollway is undertaking. As you know, it's the first time ever in the history of the tollway that we're undertaking and investing some resources on technical assistance. We're talking to a number of state agencies to help us out with some intergovernmental agreements, hopefully for that, and we'll be presenting to the full board later this, hopefully before the end of this first quarter. Also, I wanted to bring to your attention the webinar that we hosted mid-year last year, 101, how to do construction work for the tollway. We also helped co-host a contractor's development training component through a USDOT-funded program through the Illinois Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, which serves all constituencies, and that's just one single constituency. A guardrail training for subcontractors in that specialty, which quite a few subcontractors in the DB community provide guardrail. We hosted a number of Are You Ready to Bid sessions, specifically here to DB, to the DB community. Everyone here knows that we issued an RFP last year to hire a disparity consultant that is helping, will help us once engaged in doing a full disparity and availability study to complement what we already, the data we already have in place and updated. We are launching this year a small business program that will be geared specifically to assist small businesses on hopefully winning tollway bids. And well, that's, you know, just among all the things that's all of that we've done since 2012. So rest assured, we don't think that's enough. It'll never be enough in our minds, but are we aggressively and from a multi-pronged approach attempting to deal with this problem? Of course, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I think I asked this question before about something similar to this. Is there any way to actually gather evidence about why African-American companies either were not selected or didn't try to be selected? I mean, I understand we're sort of one step away, right? We've got the right, the main construction company, and then these are subcontractors. I don't know even if it's practical to try to figure that out.
You'll find the general contractor soliciting, that's who's soliciting the subs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have to look. You have to ask them to make an effort to outreach to African-American firms. I mean, you've got people like 2-in-1, contractors like that of some significance that could be here, and I don't know if they were approached on any of them.
So the question to the contractors would be, you know, what do you, or maybe we've already asked this, what did you try to do and what obstacles did you run into?
Right, right. I personally have coordinated a couple of meetings specifically with several African-American contractors that have attempted to do business with the tollway unsuccessfully. And the general is the same issues that have always come up in the past. It is an issue of bonding, an issue of financing, an issue of pre-qualification, the ease of companies being able to get pre-qualified so they can bid on tollway work as primes. Or even as subs, you know, it's an issue also of networking, that, you know, they have to be, we have to get them more involved with prime contractors so they can at least, if not primes, at least be subs on some of our projects. So we have to attack this problem, not just from one single perspective, but from multiple approaches that will help build up that pool of contractors, of entrepreneurs, in specifically in that, among African-Americans. And then it's also the issue of numbers. There's the economy has decimated a lot of the contractors that were in existence not even 3 or 4 years ago. They disappeared, a lot of them. So we're facing quite a challenge specifically in that group, but we are aware of it, and we're going to continue working. We're not going to give up on you know, enhancing their opportunities to be with us.
I'm just going to push a little bit more and say I think that we have anecdotally talked to some people is great, but I also wonder if we can document how many were there 5 years ago, and how many are there now? How many of the ones in existence have we
talked
to?
Well, I think that's what the disparity study will do.
Yeah.
So I think the disparity study, you know, part of what it does is look into the marketplace and say, this is the availability, you know. So, you know, is it 5% available, 10%? How many firms, and in generally what areas are there,
correct,
is there availability?
Mm-hmm.
And
correct,
that's part of what helps us set goals on contracts. So now, as far as the other, we could certainly do a survey. Maybe we could look at the other bids just to see if there are African-American companies in the other bids. It didn't happen to be part of the low
mm-hmm.
bid, but
mm-hmm.
it doesn't necessarily mean that they weren't, you know, being, you know, selected to be on some of these teams. You know, I do think that the unbundling effort started to at least have success in that we finally got smaller companies to bid. You know, in the beginning, we weren't getting any small firms to bid at all, so.
And it's worth noting that of those 13 contracts that we unbundled in 2012, we did have one successful DBE, an African American, that, you know, was for the first time in a long time, won a tollway contract. So that's all kind of this very early, very budding signals that we're probably going in the right direction. The collection of that additional data is probably necessary.
But beyond, let's talk about how we would get that, because I think we also have to be realistic about our own capacity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is it a survey? Is it, you know, we've obviously had some conversations and gotten some anecdotal information. You know, clearly, again, just as a sampling, we can look at all of these packages and just see, you know, what the team, how the teams were configured. But do you think that there's,
I just wonder if there are organizations. I would make two points in answer to your question. If there are organizations, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, for example, that represents a broad, they may not be the right organization, but a broad diversity of groups, and if their responsibility is to try to increase the involvement in our programs, then might we talk to them about, is there, would they have a way of doing this? What questions would we want them to ask? They may not be the right group, but is there a group? And my second point is, if I think you've done a marvelous job, don't get me wrong, but if you're going to do the kind of work you say you want to going forward of technical assistance and training and those kinds of things, I would think that building that work would be benefited from understanding what people said were the problems that they had.
So well, but we've done that, right? We've identified and we've talked about the focus groups that we did and the discussions with those groups, and we identified a program that I think Gustavo presented in the fall, and our recommendations were, you know, these technical assistance programs, which are going to help people, you know, put their bids together and maybe, you know, be able to really do the right estimating so that they don't, you know, undermine themselves and end up shorting themselves on projects, but also, you know, are competitive in the bidding, you know, and just generally business practices. You know, clearly bonding and financing came out as something that we've all heard for a long time.
Correct.
Different state agencies, when I was at the Department of Commerce, we had a bonding program. Very few companies used it. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have to make sure that we're partnering to make something work. So we have a list of things that we talked about several months ago that came from those discussions that were recommendations. So now it's a matter of, again, putting the technical assistance partnerships in place. I'm very committed to making sure that, you know, you can put a technical assistance partnership in place that sounds good on paper but doesn't actually do anything. We want to make sure that we have partnerships that are, you know, right, that are doing something and helping the community. And, you know, the bonding program, I'm going to be quite candid, I think that's going to be a tough one because others have tried it. We are attempting to, you know, find again the right relationships. We are not surety bond experts, but the right relationships to see what we can do to support something. You know, but this will take, you know, I think the better part of the upcoming year.
Yeah.
And so you do know what needs to be done.
We have a blueprint. We have. I have a clear mandate that I discussed with our executive director, LaFleur, and I think we have a pretty good idea of what we need to do. But going back to the bonding issue, I think that what is worth mentioning today is the admirable job that the Illinois Finance Authority has undertaken to be the lead department at the state level to fund a bonding and financing initiative for these kinds of businesses. We're in the midst, and we're right there partnering up with them right up there, you know, making sure that to the extent that they need agencies that will be actually users of that program, that the tollway is at the forefront of that. Part of that partnership. And I have to tell you that I am very excited. As recently as today, I was in conversations with the key person, the person assigned on that initiative for the authority. And we are hoping that we're going to be able to announce the launching of that. The authority is going to be able to announce it formally sometime before the end of the first quarter of this year. That's going to be an incredible help to all these businesses. There'll be some conditions attached to it because they're going to be putting some significant amount of money along with the Illinois Community Loan Fund. They're going to bring in some resources together, put it on the table, but they're also going to need some assurances from the vendor community that they're not just going to nilly-willy spend that money and not be able to perform on some of our courts.
And clearly that's still in development, so we don't want to get too out in front of the Illinois Finance Authority. But I think the point is to have all of these, we've, I think, done that assessment phase. We can certainly look, though, it'd be interesting just to see, you know, for these opportunities, whether the geographic point bears out, you know, because some of the feedback we heard was that you're more likely to have success, frankly, as you get closer, you know, the eastern part of our system.
Right.
There's just a greater, you know, business capacity or a greater number of businesses in this part of the region. Not to say they don't exist elsewhere, but just a greater number. You know, we can certainly take a look and see if it bears out, but some of it is just, you know, continuing the efforts that we've already put in place, but also beginning to develop some of these new programs that Gustavo's been working so hard on ever since that presentation in the fall. So maybe when you give the, we've already committed that we're going to be giving an update on the diversity program, and we talked about, you know, the number of waivers, some of the questions that have come up.
Yeah.
You know, we can certainly give an update also on the development of some of these
initiatives
and programs and kind of where they stand.
Right.
Well, a good portion of what you're looking at, sub work, probably 50%, Paul, is trucking?
Yeah. Could be, yes.
I'm just looking at the names and I know who they are. It looks like they're being multiply used by these contractors. You know, so they're still going from job to job on that tollway, the same group, but heavily on the trucking side. And you have lost some African American contractors that could bid this. One comes to mind is Bowie Construction.
That, well,
you know, things like that are gone now.
Yep.
So, yeah, you're in a tough place to get them on the paving side. And the ones that are working are probably all bonded out.
The ones that do have
guys like that have got too much work.
But we have flooding companies that are really very anxious to be able to come into our playground and be able to play. Maybe not with the big guys because they're really truly not ready yet.
What about outside of the area for African American companies?
Say that again?
What about outside of the geographical area?
So AP trucking or whatever.
You mean outside our 286-mile...
Either area, right? Milwaukee or St. Louis, those are contracts that might be willing.
I'll be frank with you.
On that way?
No, I have concentrated my efforts on my first year primarily in Illinois. I think that we have first and foremost responsibility towards Illinois businesses, and more even more specifically, Northern Illinois.
I'm thinking more on the prime side.
Oh.
And on the south side.
I have heard a couple of prime contractors from outside the state. And to the extent that we have heard, I have brought this to Paul's attention and we have met with them. I don't think that we have, after that, have had much follow-up from those companies. I can think of an engineering firm, actually, we're coming up with another one next week from Washington. We heard from the one in Florida last year, right?
Yes.
On the construction side.
Right, on the construction side.
I think the point that you're making is, are there large enough firms, because clearly for a very small company, the likelihood that they would come and do subcontracting work from Milwaukee to, you know, the Chicagoland area isn't high, but if there are large enough prime opportunities, so, you know, how would we expand our outreach regionally? You know, I would imagine that they would be watching for opportunities if they're interested in going beyond their
geography. What we've done is large companies, that few, three, four, five companies, that they have approached us. We have not approached them. They just said, we're interested in perhaps doing business with the tollway. We're not in Illinois. Is there anything preventing us in terms of restrictions that would exclude non-Illinois business? And we met with them and talked about the possibilities that we can provide.
If we take example like Bodie Construction, who's on the agenda for two items here for, what's this, $50 billion? Mm-hmm. Bodie Construction is another work at the tollway, haven't they? Or is it?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And what other regions? Have
yeah.
they done regions
yeah.
down in the south, or is it just close to their headquarters?
They like to do work closer to the to where they're at, yes. And they're more competitive.
So, but have they ever done any other regions besides their headquarters?
They have done work on the North Tri-State. They're doing work on 90 and 47 right now, and they have these two.
Well, what about for Ida? I think
they just did I-55 from some central to Toy probably 4 years ago.
But largely in District 1 or the Northeast, District 1, District 2.
Very few of these companies you'll find outside of this region. Very few. except for Passion. Passion goes down Central Illinois.
Passion and Wasp.
Wasp goes all over.
Wasp will go everywhere. They'll bid on all of our jobs if they like them, but they have to be larger for them to be interested in it, it seems like. And we've been doing some of the basic things. We've been trying to get the plans into everyone's hands. We had 65 plan holders, at least on this first job I'm looking at, and we do give them to the assist agencies, you know, so they don't have to purchase them, like you were mentioning the Illinois Hispanic Chamber. We also have African American Contractors and Black Contractors United. And, I mean, we're trying to, we're doing the basics of getting them informed that the work is out there, you know.
Okay, Director Towns, you'll keep your eye on this?
Well, and you'll let us know, too, if you have any ideas, right? Because we've done a great deal, and we will continue to look for opportunities, but if there are any specific ideas, you know, clearly this is an issue that continues to be raised from meeting to meeting. We hear it, we see it in the bids, but, you know, ideas, I think, on resolution would also be helpful, or other groups. I think we have a very long list of assist agencies that get notice of all of our contracting and bid opportunities, right?
35 to be exact. We keep close contact with 35 agencies.
Right.
Community partners and advocacy agencies.
And I assume there isn't another state or region that solved the bonding problem or either.
Minnesota has a model that we explore, and probably what the Illinois Finance Authority is now looking at implementing is going to be very close
to Missouri.
Tailored after that.
Do I remember Missouri had something that they did?
Yeah, but I don't think there's what I heard is that it wasn't too successful. Okay.
All right, anything else on this? May I hear a motion then? We'll take 1 through 5.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Any abstentions? Director Weiser, that was just an aye. You didn't have something else you wanted to say?
Nope. Just a simple aye.
Okay. Thank you. Then we'll take the agenda item under legal.
So as you know, Trinise Artis recently left the tollway to attend graduate school full time. And I know that many of you have already reached out to her and thanked her for her work, and we all, of course, wish her the best in this new pursuit. But we do, as just part of the process, need to have and appoint a secretary to the board. Marlene Vick is going to be stepping in, and I think we're going to ask that she have an appointment of assistant secretary. Is that the right title, David?
Correct, yes.
And that way, just it will be a standing appointment so that whoever ultimately is hired into the position full time, we'll always have somebody who could rotate in if the secretary is gone or what have you. So kind of a housekeeping issue. I don't know if there's anything I've missed, David, in the description or...
Nope, you haven't. Just a motion when you're ready.
Okay, thank you, Maureen, for being willing to step up. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Okay. Any unfinished business? Any new business? We don't believe we need an executive session at this special meeting unless any board member would like to have one. Okay. Feels to me as if we are 1 hour and 2 minutes into this. May I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstentions? Okay. Thank you very much. Congratulations,
Thank you.
Paul.